Good afternoon, everybody. I'm here to introduce the two speakers for today. We have Steve Fogelsong in the room, who is president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and a cattle producer from Astoria, Illinois. Steve's last name, for help, is F as in Frank, O-G-L-E-S-O-N-G. And joining Steve is Scott George. Scott George is a dairy beef farmer from Cody, Wyoming, and he is chair of the Federation of State Beef Council Division for NCBA. Also here from staff are Kendall Frazier, who's a senior vice president of NCBA, and Forrest Roberts, who is CEO. And Steve or Scott might defer to them for some details, so I just wanted you to know they were in the room. And with that, I'll turn the call over to Steve.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. I'm not telling anybody anything that they don't know when I say that the effort that NCBA has undertaken to change our governance structure has received an awful lot of attention as of date. To be real honest, a lot more than I thought we would going into this, but be that it is May, that's kind of where we're at today. I'm going to take that as a compliment. People really do care about NCBA and what we do, and I think that's because we are the leading cattle organization in the country. And we wanted to take the opportunity this afternoon for you to hear straight from us, straight from the horse's mouth, about what we are doing in the development of our improved governance structure. And when I say we, I'm referring to the folks that went along with me today over to USDA, and the we that we had there was quite a few of our staff people, some producer leaders, in addition to Scott and myself. We had some of the leadership from the Cattlemen's Beef Board along. And we sat down and we had the opportunity to have a very productive conversation over there today. And we clarified how our governance recommendations have evolved since we got together at the convention. And it's clear that USDA wants to have a very clear picture of what the Federation's role is in NCBA's new structure. And we understand and expect that what the USDA's want. Secretary Avalos asked us that we provide a written summary of our conversations, and he committed that he would respond to us immediately and let us move along in our development of our process. Our goal, since we understood and undertook this governance improvement nearly 2 years ago, was to make NCBA the efficient and effective national organization that producers deserve. We've got two clear goals at NCBA. One, to fuel producer profitability by building and protecting beef demand. And two, to preserve the producer's freedom to operate without burdensome and expensive government intervention. I believe our proposed governance model helps us deliver on these goals by increasing producers' input into our programs and policies and by enabling quicker decision-making through a 29-member board rather than our current 274-member board. I'd like to take a second here to introduce NCBA's Federation of State Beef Council's Division Chair, Scott George. Scott's a dairy beef farmer from Cody, Wyoming. Scott?
Thank you, Steve. I'm really glad to have a chance to talk about the Federation of State Beef Councils today. As you know, NCBA is much more than a policy organization. I ought to know my entire volunteer career, if you can call a high-paying volunteer job a career, both at the state and national level, has been dedicated to helping direct checkoff resources in building and defending beef demand. The Federation of State Beef Councils exists to be the state-national checkoff program that defends and builds beef demand. It takes our state beef councils working with NCBA to make a difference out there in a very cluttered and sometimes challenging environment to market our beef. Over the years, I've seen this program do amazing things. For example, educating youth about beef's powerful nutrients, defending the safety of beef during the discovery of BSE, just to name a few. I want my fellow beef producers to know how hard every dollar state beef councils invest voluntarily to the Federation is working to sell and defend their product. And I don't want to gloss over that word voluntarily. Producers on state beef council boards decide every year whether to invest in the state national plan. And I'll tell you, having sat on a state board for several years, if NCBA wasn't doing the right thing with those producer checkoff dollars, state would choose to keep those dollars at home. So let's talk about our efforts to improve NCBA's governance structure. This is a good thing for the Federation because it further improves our highly effective, highly efficient state national plan. And we are committed when the final recommendation is brought forward to our board at the end of July that it is legal and consistent with the Beef Promotion Act and order. You know, our industry faces some tough challenges and well-funded adversaries, and we have to be one team who can act quickly and speak with one voice if we expect to succeed in defending and promoting beef in the future.
Great. Chantel, we're ready to take questions from the media representatives that are on the phone.
Absolutely. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. And if you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before entering your request. One moment, please, for our first question. And our first question comes from the line of Rod Smith with Feedstuff Newspaper. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I would like to just go over the 6 points that I understand Secretary Vilsack asked in his letter last week. And you can just go yes or no or whatever. First of all, the Federation must be an independent organization within the new NCBA governance structure. Will it be an independent organization?
Scott, you want to answer that?
Sure, I'd be glad to. The Federation exists today inside the structure of NCBA. It functions in an independent manner. And the way the new governance structure is proposed, the Federation will be very independent in their actions. They will, and the Federation and the Federation alone will elect their chair, their vice chair, and the other 8 members of the Beef Operating Committee. They will also review and vote on and approve a budget, that they have, and recommend it to the board to be enacted. So they will be functioning in a very independent way. Currently, even today, they are not a separate legal entity, but they will continue to function in this new structure in an independent manner.
All right. All funding decisions related to checkoff activities must be made only by the Federation and the CBB and not the policy side of the organization. Is that the way it will be?
Yes, it will.
Okay.
All funding decisions today are made by the state beef councils. Let me start again. State beef councils have direct control over the 50 cents that they have under their purview. They have to make sure that their funding requests, that their funding activities comply with the act and order. The other 50 cents goes to the Cattlemen's Beef Board, and that money is directed to be spent by the operating committee, and only Federation members, 10 Federation members and 10 CBB members sit on that board. And so they also have direct control over those dollars. Monies that the state sent to the Federation are leveraged against those dollars that are being approved by the operating committee, and that helps to extend the national program. So in the end, only checkoff producers are the ones who are approving where those funds are spent.
Mm-hmm. And then I think you've already answered the third point. The Federation's members who serve on the Beef Promotion Operating Committee will be nominated and elected only by the Federation. That's the way it will be, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Federation members must not vote on policy matters. Well, they've not voted on policy matters in the past, and as I understand it, won't vote on policy matters in the future. Is that right?
You want to answer that one, Steve?
I think that's the consensus. You're right, Rod. I mean, that's the way it is. There are some of those issues there that we really need to make sure that everybody's in the room. I mean, there's a host of those issues that we want to make sure everybody listens to and has the opportunity to discuss so that we can get to the right answer and clarity. And I think that's the goal of the GTF, that we get the chance to, you know, the question is, should they be a separation of the body? Not as far as being able to sit down and talk about it, you know, and I think that's kind of the question that you're asking, we need to make sure that everybody's there so they have the opportunity to at least, you know, be a part of that conversation. We've divided where the money's going to be, and we need to give them the opportunity to discuss, but they also have the right to abstain from anything in these recommendations. If, when it comes to a vote, if they're not comfortable with it, they've got a chance to abstain, and I think that's where we're at today.
Okay. Checkoff funds cannot be used to purchase any seat in a policy organization. That will not happen, right?
In the new structure, there will be no seat. There will only be votes, and so as an organization invests, they are simply acquiring votes but not seats.
Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, you know, the investments the state beef councils make in federations are voluntary. State beef council boards evaluate those decisions every year, and if they're not pleased with the services or the direction that the state and national plan, they'll discontinue their investment. Secondly, I think NCBA is much more than a policy organization. NCBA is a federation of state beef councils, and our job as a federation is to work with those state beef councils to build a state and national plan that protects and builds that beef demand.
But the question is, will checkoff funds be used to buy a policy making seat?
Not.
Okay. All right. So it seems to me that the concerns that Secretary Vilsack raised already were addressed to his satisfaction.
Well, is that the reaction
you got from your meetings today?
Yeah, Rod. What he asked us to do at the end of the meeting was to go through and address these questions that he raised and put them in writing so that they can sit there and have the opportunity to discuss them to make sure where we're at. And we told him we would do that. We'll be going to work on that immediately. We'll fire those questions, the answers to those questions back, and give him the opportunity then to have a look at it and then respond back to us. And they told us that they would do that as quickly as they possibly could. And then if there were other issues that needed to be dressed out, we could do that. You know, through the course of this entire process, we've tried to be as open as we possibly can, give everybody the opportunity to have input in that. And at this stage of the game, that also includes USDA. And we want to have that opportunity. You know, it is a draft document that we put out there, and here's the opportunity for state beef councils, for producers, everybody across the country, have a look at it, make the decisions, and have give us the opportunity to adjust what we have done if it needs be. That's where we're at in this process. We've been very open from the very onset of the GTF to get to this point, and we're here now. It's a while yet until we make the vote, and I think here's the opportunity for producers to weigh in and figure out exactly what this finished product is going to look like so that everybody can be comfortable with it and understand that it's going to do exactly what it asked it to do from the very get-go.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Stuart Doan with AgriPulse. Please proceed.
Thank you. I want to follow up where Rod left off there and go to the next point in the Secretary's letter, which was, regardless of structure, policy organizations should not be permitted to influence, determine outcomes, or vote on checkoff decisions. I think I heard you say a moment ago, Steve, that the point of contention here was, while you have satisfied his concerns about the financial firewall protection in place, the policy firewall, the decision-making firewall, may be still somewhat in question. What can you say to that point about, regardless of structure, policy organizations won't be permitted to influence, determine outcomes, or vote on checkoff decisions?
Scott's going to answer this.
Would you repeat that question, please?
Yes. What I think I heard Steve say there a moment ago is that what still is subject to discussion with USDA, or at least a concern for them, is that while there might be adequate protection in place to make sure that checkoff dollars don't get commingled with policy dollars, they're accurately accounted for, it's the decision-making. Steve referenced it a few minutes ago about those people needing to be in the room. That seems to be what's still at play here. This point about regardless of structure, policy organizations should not be permitted to influence, determine outcomes, or vote on checkoff decisions. What can you say to that concern of USDA?
Okay, the one point I'd like to bring up is we talked already about the funding decisions for those checkoff activities. They are being determined by those checkoff representatives from the state beef councils and from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. And so that decision is being made by checkoff people who are actively involved in that. The other issue about policy issues, the discussion, the problem we're having here is a breakdown in understanding what firewall is. We believe the firewall is an accounting firewall, and that has been strictly enforced and will continue to be strictly enforced. All of the checkoff dollars are audited every year by an independent contractor. Those audits are forwarded to the Cattlemen's Beef Board. The Cattlemen's Beef Board also does independent audits periodically. All of those checkoff dollars are overseen continually, and so no checkoff dollars are going to be spent on something they shouldn't be. The other part of that question comes down to should people who are there working for checkoff programs be able to have a say in the business climate that's affecting them? And our answer is yes, they should be able to be able to contribute. The more voices we have speaking together, the better clarity we have around issues and around where we need to be and how we need to resolve those issues in an industry.
Does USDA define firewall the same way you just defined it?
We had a discussion about that. I can't say yes or no. I can say that we had a discussion about what firewall is. They understand accounting firewall very clearly. The other discussion we'll have to go back and review. I'm not really able to say right off the top of my head here.
Steve, did you and your fellow NCBA folks commit to a time specific as to when you would get the final document that will go before your members in July to USDA to review?
Well, we were hoping that we're planning on sending that out by the 18th of June, so those folks have the opportunity. But, I mean, you know, there's opportunities to make changes between now and then, but we have to get it out because, you know, we've got a requirement in our bylaws to get it out there at least 30 days. 18th of June is more than that, but, you know, we're certainly trying to be open and have the opportunity for folks to respond, get it out there. If they've got heartburn or problems, let's get it fixed. I mean, I don't want to wind up in July in some kind of an amendment fest at the meeting. I mean, that's the furthest thing from my wish list. I would much rather we had a chance to have some dialogue back and forth and get issues or problems fixed well in advance of that, and that's kind of our goal.
Was Secretary Vilsack in this meeting today?
No. It was Secretary Avalos and several of his staff people.
And finally, has the Cattlemen's Beef Board told you that the changes you have made since convention, it's comfortable with them and it can support you and what you're trying to do here?
The first time anybody had the opportunity to see this stuff was last week. We rolled this out, I think, along about Thursday, and we've had the chance to sit with their executive committee and give them a very brief overview, and they had the opportunity to take it back and think about it. But the first time I saw it was last Thursday, and so I think it'd be premature for me to say that they've made a decision, you know, on where they are. Hey, I'm still mulling around in my head. I haven't had it long enough to totally understand it, and I think everybody in the country, most of your viewers and listeners, you know, would be in that mode. It's brand new. We promised USDA that we would roll it out to them as quick as possible. I think 4 or 5 days is pretty quick, you know, and so we're getting everybody getting it out there for folks to look at just as fast as we can, because once again, I want to make sure that everybody in the country, all the folks that pay into the checkoff, our members, everybody else has the opportunity to understand it, those that are interested, you know, and weigh in. And I hope they do. I mean, this is a conversation that really needs to take place as we try to move this industry forward.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
And our next question is from the line of Steve Cake with Cattle Buys Weekly. Please proceed.
Gentlemen, these are two questions that perhaps encompass the two ends of the spectrum of what's occurred. Firstly, my perspective suggest that when you first rolled this out, there was a lot of interest and quite a lot of discussion. But Steve, as you said, probably far more discussion than you anticipated. But it seemed like USDA were pretty quiet about their response. And so my first question is, had you discussed the proposed governance structural change very much with them? And secondly, do you feel that it was only when some other industry farm trade groups started making a lot of noise about this that things got heated up? So that's kind of the first part of my question. The second part is, of course, and you've sort of covered this, but do you feel ultimately that you'll need to actually make some changes to the proposed new governance structure, or is it a question of putting out a lot more detail about how it's going to work?
Well, I think the first question, Steve, the secretary's letter to us was, you know, timing on it was very perfect because we already had a meeting set up. So, I mean, if I could have picked a time to get them to respond, that would have been it. So, I mean, it was great. We very much appreciated the fact that they got back to us so that we could respond to that. We have been in conversation with them since way back in December that here's what we're headed for. You know, they knew about what we were doing, you know, before we ever went to the convention and got the vote. You know, they had heard about it. We had given them the heads up that we were going to do something if it came out of the convention the way it did, which was, you know, pretty much overwhelming when we got done voting. As soon as we could get the thing put together, we would get back to them. And I think we presented to them a concept, if you would, and there wasn't a whole lot for them to react to until we got it out. Now they've got their hands on it. I think we presented it to them today in paper form, you know, what those draft proposals were, and I think we got along really, really pretty good, and I think we've had a good conversation, and they understood, you know, what the controversy were, like you said, far more than I did, and I think we're in pretty good shape with them now. And Steve, did you have a second part of that question that I didn't answer very adequately?
Can I just ask you just a quick follow-up to what you just said? Were you surprised, even though USDA didn't have any details, were you surprised at the tone of Secretary Vilsack's letter to you?
Well, I thought it was possibly stronger. It brought into question some things that maybe we had been holding near and dear, especially if you're a two-hat beef council, right. You know, for the last 30 years. When I had a conversation with them the other day, you know, they said this wasn't necessarily aimed at those groups, but it certainly was ours, and I think we have to get some more clarity to that.
Yeah. My second question, Steve, was, you know, at this point, do you feel like you might conceivably, more because of USDA's concerns than perhaps your own members and other producers, or because of both, that you'd actually have to make actual changes to the proposals or really just provide a great deal more detail?
Oh, sure. You know, the reality, this is a draft, Steve. You know, it says draft on everything that we sent out there. Yeah, we did that with the very first recommendations that came from the Governance Task Force. We met in Omaha. We made changes the night before we voted on it. And that's one of the reasons, you know, that it passed by 94% at the convention. It's because we made changes, we listened to folks, and we've tried to make sure that everybody understood from the very inception of this that it was an ongoing deal, a living, breathing document that could be changed. That has not changed one bit. And, you know, producers out there need to be engaged. This is their structure that we're talking about, and we want to make sure that they are engaged. And we're giving them every opportunity to be involved here. You know, everybody's, you know, a member of a state beef council somewhere. I mean, they've got a state association or a state beef council that they report to, and every one of those groups is talking about it, trying to make decisions. Are we happy? How are we going to vote? Those sorts of things. That's the way this thing should work. When we get done and we have ownership in here, we'll have a square. If there's changes that need to be made, we will certainly address those. And everybody's got that opportunity. And you can do me some good by getting the word out. Here's the draft. This is the way the thing's going to go. Let's get it fixed. Let's move forward.
So finally, what specifically do you think NCBA needs or should do to further that end that it hasn't already done?
Well, I think the fact that we got everything rolled out there, I mean, we're right on target and where we wanted to be. We're listening to what our beef councils and partners out there have to say about it and make those adjustments that are necessary, if there are any, and move forward. I mean, we're right where we wanted to be. Our timeline's exactly where it should be, and I think here's the opportunity for folks to weigh in.
Thank you very much.
And as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, please press the 1 followed by the 4 to register a question. And our next question comes from the line of Haley Shipp with Northern AG Network. Please proceed.
All right, thank you. Steve and Scott, just wondering, we've talked a lot about the producer input and wanting to make sure that the producer members are comfortable, involved, and well aware of the changes before we go to the vote in July. How are we going to be active in making sure that those producers can be as involved as we'd like them to be?
Scott's going to answer this for you, Haley.
Hi, Haley. One way that we're making sure the producers get engaged is we're trying to get this information out. We're planning conference calls. We are planning rollouts at different state meetings so that people can actually look at these things, discuss them, work through them. And this is a big information gathering process, and we're trying to be very, very transparent, get it out in front of the producers so that they can make decisions based upon the questions and the answers that they get.
And are those draft documents going to be available anywhere online for the next month, kind of the working drafts, or how are people going to obtain the actual physical material?
Yeah, this is Kendall. When we get through the meetings back here in Washington, D.C., we'll have conversations with our groups that have been working on these documents, and at some point in the near-distant future, we will release these documents.
Great. Thank you. That's everything.
And our next question comes from the line of Chris Clayton with DTN. Please proceed.
Thank you, gentlemen. Could you first just go back and explain what is gained for producers by doing this?
Sure, Chris. You know, NCBA's perspective here, and the reason we started this this process was just to get ourselves more efficient and more nimble and able to move quicker to deal with the problems the beef industry's got. I mean, that's the nut of the whole thing. We hadn't really looked at our structure, you know, since the merger, which was, you know, 14 years ago. And there's only so much money to go around, be it money that comes from associations or money that comes from the checkoff. And we can't afford to be wasting it anyway. And we really need to sit back and look at this and figure out what's the very most efficient way to do it. You know, and that's the crux of it, getting the producers the most bang for their buck, and make an NCBA, you know, the outfit that you really want it to be, and be in there every day swinging, trying to make sure that we're profitable in this industry.
So, what is the savings then? You got a dollar figure? How much gets saved by doing this?
And then no real dollar figure, but you know, by cutting back a little bit on expenses, you know, overhead. You know, for coming to board meetings, et cetera, all those things. I mean, they just, you know, everything adds up, you know, and we haven't tried to put an economic model together. It's just the fact that just the efficiency part of it. And Scott wanted to comment as well, so I'll swing it over to him.
Another issue that we're looking for, another benefit to producers, is not only are we trying to become more effective and efficient, but we're trying to be much more inclusive. We're opening the doors for much, much more input from other organizations, from other entities, other cattle producers, to be able to have input in what is happening in the industry and how we can solve the problems that are facing us. So the efficiency and effectiveness is one thing, but the second thing is we're trying to be much more inclusive so that we have a much broader input base from our producer level.
But the groups back in March that signed the letter, Farm Bureau and Farmers Union and others, felt and wrote that the new governance would move the checkoff towards more exclusivity rather than inclusiveness. How do you see if you're going to be more inclusive if you're going to have fewer people helping make decisions on where money is spent?
We're actually going to have more people helping make decisions on where the money is spent. I want to tell you, I've been asking for some information from the Federation. I wanted to know how many producers out there in the country actually sit on state beef council boards. And so far, we haven't got all the data back, but I can tell you that we have got at least 660 producers that are sitting on state beef council boards. I asked the question, what groups do they come from? We have producers there that are cow-calf operators, seed stock operators, stocker operators, feeders, dairymen, and vealmen. And so we have a wide range of industry people sitting on those beef councils. And then I ask for what kind of associations they have. And, folks, we have members of RCAF, of U.S. Cattlemen, of American Farm Bureau Federation, of National Farmers Union, of the Livestock Marketing Association, and multitude of state agencies, cattlemen's groups that are all sitting on these state beef council boards. I don't know how much more inclusive we can be than to have that door open and say, all you folks that are sitting there, come on in and help us decide how to spend these dollars.
Scott,
but what happens, if I could follow one more question, what happens if you have a state beef council that simply decides, well, we don't want to be part of this?
That is entirely up to the state beef council. I want to stress, the state beef councils have complete control of their 50 cents. And they have options of where to spend that money. They can spend it all in state, or they can send, some states send other money to other state beef councils. Some of them earmark money. They say, I want to send money, for example, to the Meat Export Federation. Or we had one state beef council that last year wanted to fund a specific research project that the operating committee just didn't have enough money to do, and so they said, we're going to send the money for that project. They can earmark those funds. And so if they want to spend money with the federation, which is so that they can leverage on this national level, they can. If they don't want to, no one is out there twisting their arm at all. That is entirely up to those state beef councils.
Chris, to further clarify that point, too, you know, in the elections, when we're putting people on the operating committee, you know, the federation is charged with that. They won't have to have made an investment to be able to come and cast their votes. I mean, if they so choose, I mean, that's part of the way this has played out. And then I think the other thing, trying to include other groups in here, in the issues forums, when you see the documents, today, in order to go sit on one of the committees that we've got, you've got to be a member of NCBA or a member of a state. You're set to those committees. I mean, you're appointed to them. In this new structure, we have issues forums that are on there that are open to anybody. Any other cattle group, any individual, they have the opportunity to come, sit through those issues forums, and have the opportunity then to help set policy for what we're going to carry on into the organization. And that's I can't do it any more open than to have a just, you know, y'all come kind of attitude. And that's kind of where we're at on this, trying to get everybody to participate in those industry forums and have your, you know, be heard, you know, say your piece. And I think that's kind of what we're trying to accomplish here.
Well, thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Lisa Keefe with Meeting Place Magazine. Please proceed.
Thank you, guys. I wanted to circle back around on the availability of the documents as they're being sort of updated and you're incorporating the feedback. You said that those documents would be made available, you know, as the information is incorporated. Where would people go? What website or how would people sort of keep track of that process so that when those documents are available, they'll know that they're available and they can be accessed?
Well, we've got to go back based on these meetings here in Washington, D.C., and go back to some people that have been working on these documents. And when we feel comfortable that they're ready to be released, we will do that. But we've got to go back and, based on these meetings, based on what we've heard, take a look at those documents. And then at some point in the future, and I can't sit here today and give you a date that we'll do that, but at some point in the future, we will make them public. But we would like to make sure that those documents contain the correct information. If there need to be changes based on this week, we'll set back and talk to our working groups that have been working on that. And at some point, we will release the document. I just don't have a date certain to give you today.
I understand, but where would people go to check? I mean, when they're released, where are they going to be released? Would it just be through a document distribution, like a PR newswire or something, or might it be posted on your website in a particular place, and if so, where?
We'll post them on our website.
Chantel, we'll take one more question because these gentlemen need to catch flights and get to the next meeting.
Absolutely. Then our last question is from the line of Rod Smith. It's a follow-up question with Feedstuffs Newspaper. Please proceed.
Yes, how about that? The six organizations that originally expressed some concern, their concerns to Secretary Vilsack, with an exception or two, they're pretty mainstream organizations, and I'm wondering if you have tried to interact with them, talk with them, meet with them, as you met with the people at USDA today, to try and address their concerns that way.
Absolutely. You're very prophetic, Rob. Tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, we're going to sit down with those groups, and everybody's interested, and everybody wants to figure out if we can understand it, and then we're going to go and roll that stuff out just like we did with USDA today. We're going to meet with them tomorrow. We're all in D.C., and we're going to go down to the Farm Bureau's office because our place is upside down in construction today, and they very graciously offered to let us use their facility, and we're going to meet with those guys and roll the same stuff out so that everybody's on the same page.
Rod, this is Forrest. One additional clarity point there to Steve's comments is that the meeting tomorrow is with all six organizations that submitted the initial letter to the USDA. And so in our discussions following that letter that was sent in early March, we had a follow-up with just about every organization face-to-face, one-to-one. And during the course of some of those discussions, it was suggested that in our further follow-up with them, which Steve has already referenced is scheduled for tomorrow morning, it was suggested that why don't we have all six groups together so that everyone can hear the same points and offer input against the same issues, if you will, or concerns. So our objective tomorrow is, as Steve has already outlined, and the ultimate outcome that we hope to achieve is to get not only clarity but also alignment about what will it take to make this thing work as we move forward.